What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Hey, everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets, in the car while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You guys, hello, my bunnies. It's me, Arda Marine. And guess what? We are doing an episode of Feeling Thorny every Friday leading up to the publication of my book, which is just 6.5 weeks away. It comes out Tuesday, September 29th. And we got such a great response. I know you guys really enjoyed learning about Rob Benedict. And I have to be honest with you, I'm so grateful that we recorded these before the whole pandemic happened. We recorded this one in December. Lauren Lopkis and I had just gone to New York together. And I was asking her, I was like, I want to do something just sort of leading up to the publication of my book because I've had such a good time. As I mentioned last time, the publisher requested a chapter about how I got from a small farm town with 3,000 people in Rhode Island to getting to be on a TV show by my early 20s. And I remember when I was writing it, it felt incredibly painful to write. I felt like, who do you think you are? You're not Meryl Streep, like blah, blah, blah. So what? But I realized if I was a young version of me, if I was like 8-year-old Arden, I would want to know how somebody did that. And then I realized, like, oh, so many of my friends also grew up in small towns or did not grow up in Los Angeles or New York. They did not grow up with connections. And it made me really curious about how people got started, what their families were like, and what made them tick. And so we recorded this in December. Anna, you were there. Lauren Lopkis, who is the star of The Wrong Missy, which if you guys have not seen that, it is so – how good is Lauren in The Wrong Missy?
She's great. That movie really made me laugh.
I mean, honestly, so it's a Netflix movie. It came out during the pandemic. She plays The Wrong Missy, and it is such a star turn. I would say there's at least a dozen hard belly laughs. Like, she's such a star. And, you know, there's so many other things that we talk about that you know her from, but that's the most recent thing. And she's just a really nice person. And I just found her, she's such a hard worker and she's such a good friend. And I'm so excited for you guys to just get to know a lot of the people from our podcast, a lot of my friends, a little bit better. And just to sort of, these are a little more intimate, a little more personal. And I hope you guys enjoy our second installment of Feeling Thorny with the lovely Lauren Lopkis.
Welcome to Will You Accept This Rose, a production of iHeartRadio.
You know what time it is. It's time for Arden to get a little close and a little thorny. Oh, well, Arden's gonna go one-on-one. Gonna be high energy fun. Convos are gonna be super real. She wants to get with you in all the feels. Feeling thorny, yeah, feeling thorny. Whoa, feeling thorny. thorny.
Oh, yeah.
This is exciting. This is our first sidecar. It's our sidecar.
Ooh, yes. Will you accept this rose?
Guess what, guys? We have a new offshoot of the podcast for everybody. Free for everybody. Yeah. Accept this rose. My name is Arta Marine, and I am so excited to introduce a special sidecar offshoot of our podcast that I actually came up with our first guest. One of the things I came up with this podcast, I think 3 or 4 years ago, thinking it would just be a fun thing to do to talk about The Bachelor with other funny people, break it down, you know, just I thought it would just mostly be about the television show. And one of the things I found is that I am naturally a slightly socially anxious person, and it has expanded my life so much. I've gotten so many new friends because of this podcast, and I feel like I've been through so much in my life that as you guys have gotten to know me and you've emailed in and I've gotten to know you, I feel like it's truly the most important social connection that I have in my life today. And with that, as my life has expanded, I actually sold a book that you can pre-order now on Amazon. Apparently, it's all about the pre-orders. If you want to get on the New York Times bestseller list, and I'm not going to act like I don't, it's called Little Miss Little Compton, and it's about – it's funny stories about me growing up and in Hollywood and stuff like that. But this is a podcast where I'm going to interview people in sort of a more one-on-one intimate way and leading up to the launch of my book this fall. So I could not be more excited. We came up with this. This sidecar is called Feeling Thorny. My tongue said thorny when I did it, and that's going to be every time. So you heard a laugh. My first guest with me, you might know her from Orange is the New Black. You might know her from Crashing. You might know her from the Between Two Ferns movie or one of her many podcasts. You might know her from her new Netflix movie, The Wrong Missy. Ladies and gentlemen, Lauren Lapkus.
Yay.
Hi, Lauren.
Hi.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
I'm so honored.
And thank you for being my first guest.
I'm so excited. It's going to be so great.
We came up with this in New York City. We were on a trip.
We were on a little trip just for fun, which is so rare.
I don't think I had actually taken a real vacation. Well, that's not true. The first real vacation I took was this summer.
To
Rhode Island with you and your husband and Debbie Ryan and Brian Safi. Mm-hmm. And that was a real joy. And then we're like, oh, my God, let's get really crazy and let's go to New York for a week.
It was so great. It was like one of the best trips ever. And I think it might be the best friend trip I've ever had.
Me too.
It was so
fun. It was so fun.
And I was like,
it was easy.
It was so easy. And we were on the same, we had the same desires throughout the day of like, now I'm hungry. Let's go lay down. Let's cancel that. Let's do this.
Yes.
Like, it was very easy. And it never felt like you were letting the other person down by wanting to change it. You know, some people can be like,
rigid.
Oh, I thought we were going to do that.
No.
It's like, I don't care.
I could not be happier. One of my favorite things in the world is to make a plan and then have somebody cancel like an hour before.
I love that.
And people keep apologizing, but they don't realize that the person inside of me that is a little socially anxious, that I am so proud of myself that I made the plan and I could not be happier that I don't have to do it.
I did it recently when I was going to go to dinner with friend that I really like, and it's like always a fun time, but I was like, I just don't feel like going out tonight. And it was like 4 hours before dinner, and I was like, you know what?
Yes.
I don't have to.
Yes.
We can see each other again. I'm just going to cancel. And then I did feel a little bad because I don't know what her stance is on that kind of thing.
Yes.
But I felt so relieved for myself. I was like,
oh
wow. Why do I ever make any plans? I should just never make plans.
No, I have been in a real Boo Radley mode, right? I have been real indoor cat mode lately, but I do know I force myself. Well, I actually talk about that a lot in my book. I do talk a lot about, just a little preview. I feel my parents married on a dare.
They weren't dating, and they moved from Manhattan.
Who dared them?
They dared each other.
Wow.
I know. They were coworkers, and they got 2 weeks of vacation a year. And then if you went on a honeymoon, you got like an extra 2 weeks. So they were like trying to come up with a way to beat the man. And then so my dad was like, I think they were like having cocktails. They were in New York City. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like New Year's Eve. And my dad was like, if we get married, we'll go down to South America for a month. Like, I'll pay for the vacation. We can come back and we can get it annulled. And then my mom called the next day and she upped the ante and she was like, I'll do it, but I'm not getting it annulled. And so she borrowed her so that's how the book starts. And she borrowed her best friend Arden's wedding dress. They never told my grandparents. Cool. And then they actually got married. So then they moved this tiny town called Little Compton, Rhode Island. It has like 3,000 people. You've been there.
I have. I feel very special because I guess not that many people have.
No, considering how small it is. It's the tiniest town ever.
Yeah.
And but I feel like it was a really fun house, but there was a side of me that because it was sort of a lawless way that they got married, my brother and I are both insomniacs. It was sort of this lawless house. Mm. And so trying to figure out how normal people exist. I make plans just because I think I'm like other people do, but it's not my natural instinct.
Yeah, you know, I think you're right. I think I relate to that too, that like, I feel like I'm supposed to, because I was like, oh, when you're like an adult, you go to drinks with people. Yes. And you have dinner with people.
Yes.
And I think I don't care about that. But I feel like I'm having this realization right now where I don't care. Like, yeah. I think I, every time I'm getting close to a dinner plan, except for, I will say, we have a dinner plan that is like every month with Yumi and Brian and Safiya, and we have the best time. But like,
that's our
dread.
Illuminati. That's our Illuminati.
But even when I only make plans with people I like, so it's not even like I don't like anyone.
Yes.
It's that I just don't want to. I would rather literally just both sit on the couch and do nothing, or like go shopping or do something,
yes.
I guess.
Can I tell you how much, like, I have to say this podcast has made me feel better in general because I feel like I can chat with people and relate and have people to my house and stuff like that. But it also makes me feel better to hear, because I think of you as a very well-adjusted person. And
you appear
like you would want, but it makes me feel better.
Oh, yeah.
That you also, so you force yourself.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think I fill my calendar because that's how I end up doing things.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm like, oh, well, I make a dinner plan, but I'll make it like 3 weeks away. And then I'll go, don't think about that later.
Yeah.
And then 3 weeks always comes. And all the things that you've said you were going to do in three weeks are there.
It's the worst.
And then I'm like, oh, this week is really full because I just like jam-packed it full of everything I have to do.
Yes.
So I'm also trying to be better about not doing that and just saying, even if I, like, let's say someone asks me to do a podcast or something, but it's like I'm doing something later that day, I'll say that day doesn't work. I'll pick a different day because I'm like, then I'm going to be going from thing to thing to thing the whole day, and then I have to go to dinner with somebody that I made a plan with. And, you know, also, I want it to be known that if anyone ever wants to cancel on me, you are more than welcome.
Oh my God, I'm jealous that
it's
you.
Totally fine.
I'm jealous of the friend that you canceled on earlier.
I know, but we're getting dinner in like a week.
Oh, that's the
worst.
I know,
because
now it's not done.
Yeah.
Now,
because then I was like, it would be done. But then I'm like, I like her and this is fun.
Right.
So it's not really about checking it off the list.
Yeah.
It's about wanting to enjoy myself. So I should do it on a day where I feel like it.
Let me ask, how did your parents meet?
They met, they were neighbors in an apartment building in Chicago.
Okay.
And there's a story with it that basically my mom pretended to get locked out of her apartment and that she had to climb through his balcony or something to get to hers, but it was not real. Like, she was pretending.
Is that true?
To get his attention. Yeah. And he just like didn't care. Like, he like let her in and like let her go do it. And like, it just didn't register as like anything.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I don't really know what happened after that and like how they started dating. But that was the first thing. My mom like noticed him and was like, oh, I like him.
And you have a brother.
Yeah.
Is he older?
Yeah. He's 3 years older.
So is mine.
Oh, cool.
And were you popular in school? Like, how was middle school for you? You've seen my middle school photos.
Yeah. I should show you some of mine.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have any readily available, but I was not popular, but I wasn't like a total sad sack.
Yeah.
I feel like I fell into a comfortable range where like I could talk to popular kids and sometimes I was friends with them, but like not to the point where I would go hang out with them.
Yeah.
Like after school, but in the moment I could like talk to them at lunch and sometimes sit with them. But I had my group of friends as well. And so we kind of were a middle group.
Yeah. Were you a class, like, were you sort of the entertainer? Like,
yeah,
people,
yeah.
I hate the phrase class clown.
I was like a class clown, but I hate that too.
I hate it.
Really, it was like I just talked.
Yeah.
And so I felt free to, and confident to just talk whenever I wanted in class. And a lot of times that would be just something funny that I wanted to say. But it wasn't usually to distract. It was mostly that I just thought of something funny about what we were talking about or something. Like, I just had like a sarcastic comment or something for everything. And a lot of my teachers, I never got in trouble for it. They always like seemed to like it, or at least be like, it doesn't matter.
First kiss.
Ooh, I was a junior in high school.
Oh, later.
Yeah.
Later.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And it got really built up in my head for that reason, because it was like everyone, it was me and another friend had not done it. So we kind of were like, looking to each other like, help.
Oh, my God. Everybody in my class was boning.
Oh, my God. I think they all were.
Everybody was boning.
I just, it was like, just, I wanted to, but I didn't understand how you got there. And like, it just was such a far off idea to me.
That's how I felt, honestly, through most of my life. Like, I think now with Tinder and stuff, like, it's so much easier. I know people think that females, like, oh, you could, I really could not envision a scenario where I would be, like, with my clothes off at the end of the night with somebody.
Like, now, you mean? Or, back then?
Even in, like, my 20s, like...
Oh, yeah, it seems hard to be like, how do you get there?
I couldn't figure out what would happen during the day that would lead me to meeting somebody.
Meeting a person and just hooking up with them, that is not something I understand.
Couldn't figure out how you would go on dates. Like, I couldn't figure out how to get a boyfriend.
I think I lack the necessary trust in everyone to be willing to just have a one night stand with a stranger you've never met.
Like,
idea of just
That's
being
good.
Like, but then like these people must be like thinking everyone is ultimately fine or that nothing bad will happen to them. Like, I don't know how you're getting yourself in that situation without my first impression has to be like incredible of somebody if I'm like going to talk to them for longer than 5 minutes of someone I'm just meeting.
I mean, I know lots of people hook up all the time.
Yeah.
But
we probably sound like aliens.
And I envy that. I had such anxiety and fear of diseases. Just fear.
Me too.
I feared diseases more than I was like, I was the makeup bandit for a while, like in my 20s. But it was just, I was fully convinced there was no way that I was not going to get some terrible disease.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't even kiss people if I didn't really like them. And then if I really liked them and I kissed them, I'd probably get over them right away. Like, it was like
Me too. And then people would get so mad at me.
Yeah, yeah, it was
bad. And I have to say, if I wasn't me, I would, and I was on the receiving end, I would also think you're a garbage person.
Yeah, it's annoying.
Okay, so who was the first kiss junior high?
This guy that I went to school with, and we were in the theater department together. And he was a senior and I was a junior, and I still know him. So it's like weird because I'm not going to name him.
Yeah.
But I did name him on another podcast, I think. And then everyone in my high school was like texting me about it because it. Yeah.
Right. Apparently somebody spotted mine. Mine was eighth grade.
Oh, that's good. That's a good one.
No,
did you feel late?
Ninth grade. I was late.
Oh, okay.
Ninth grade. But I was young for my class. I was probably...
I was old. I was 17.
God bless you.
Yeah.
That's how old I was when I lost my virginity, and I was late.
Wow.
But I was also too young for my class. So it was like right before high school graduation. I figured in my brain, the side of me that was afraid of diseases, that was like, I can do it with one of these high school guys because I know where they've been.
Mm-hmm.
Once I get out of here, the pool's too... I just got to get it done with one of these dum-dums.
Yeah.
And I did.
Yeah, good for you.
Thank you so much.
Have you ever heard from that person again or seen them again?
I liked him so much more than he liked me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was terrible. He slept with another girl the next day. Like my friend.
Wow.
Yeah. And then at a reunion, he like tried to hit on me. And I remember being so excited to kind of be like, you know, we were supposed to go on another date. I dated him for a while. And then we went on, like, he was supposed to, like, go on a date with me. And he didn't call me in time. I was like, I'm not available anymore. And I was like, yes! You know, just that sort of wonderful final revenge.
Yes.
Oh, Bone Zone.
Time for the Bone Zone.
Thank you.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
One of the things I talk about in the book, I keep edging closer. I feel like some of the stuff growing up in my house felt... I mean, I guess I would imagine most people feel like this. I mean, I think... Honestly, like living life and adulthood is sort of like there's part of it is people tell you things and then part of it is a choose your own adventure of like you have to figure it out on your own. But there are so many things that I feel like I know now that I wish I knew at like 21 or 22 creatively or like if you could go back in time and tell young Lauren Lapkus a few things, what would you tell her?
Well, yeah, I do think you have such a good point that so much of it is like you have to figure it out yourself.
Yeah.
Just with life and with career stuff, I think like especially in the entertainment industry, like nobody is explaining things to you.
Yeah.
And there are so many mistakes you kind of have to make, I guess. Even if someone told you, you'd probably still make the same mistake. So,
like what?
I don't know. Like, I mean, I think with like auditioning or things like that, like where it's you have to like, when I think back to myself when I was first auditioning, I think I put so much pressure on myself.
Yeah.
And would freak out over like things that ultimately like never got made. You know what I mean? Like, it's like the stakes were so low for the audition, especially the things I was getting auditions for when I was like, especially in Chicago or New York.
Right,
whatever,
right.
When I was young and just starting. But I would tell myself not to worry about it so much and that it's not going to matter and that it'll all be fine. And this is all experience. And like every time you go, you learn something about yourself and like how to handle it. But I don't think I could have understood it because I had to go through all these awkward moments and just suck a bunch and then like realize that that's what it was. Like
it takes a while to realize how many days of people they're auditioning because you think it's just like you versus the ladies.
The five people.
And
there.
You're like, no, they've been seeing people like all of March.
Yes.
You know, like you're one of 50 that they've looked at and the competition's really against yourself. How do you prepare for an audition?
I will print out the sides, which is like the audition scene material. And for people out there who don't know, but like, I'm not explaining it to you.
Yeah. What is that? Wait, what is that? I don't know what that is.
What is that?
I don't know what that is.
Help me.
How did I get into this building? I don't know what is happening.
But I'll print it out and then like, depending on how much time I have, because a lot of times auditions, they'll be like, it's tomorrow. I cancel everything. You have to be there at noon.
Yes.
Like I've been trying to fight back against that because I realize that there's always more days. And like you said, they're always auditioning people forever. And like, they can see me next week.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I know.
And I'd be better if I got to read this more than once.
Yeah.
So I'll print it out and then I'll kind of leave it around my house and then like, you know, glance at it a little bit every day. And then the day of the thing, I'll like focus for like an hour and a half on it. And then I'll drive there and then sit in my car for like 10 minutes reading it over and over. Just reading it without looking. I mean, looking at the page, not trying to pretend I know it.
Yeah.
So I have it because I think part of my thing is I think I'm a visual learner where I can see the words in my head.
Yeah.
If I have to think of my next line, I can kind of see it. So if I read it a lot before I go in, it's kind of in my head more.
I love that.
But yeah, it's a very possibly lazy process.
No.
Sometimes I hear about people who get like acting coaches for auditions and I'm like, oh, I guess I never thought of that. Like I like,
but it's working for you.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. But I think that there are people where like they do that and it's really great for them. So I don't know.
I hire somebody just to help to run it, just to help me learn it. Also, my eyes have gotten worse. So like it's hard for me and I don't have the kind of eyes that can wear contacts and like see. I can't. It's one or the other. I can either see the person I'm reading against,
yeah,
or I can see the words on the page. And so
you try to memorize it then?
I have to, because yeah, I literally can't look and see it. I
think that's better though. Do you ever have moments where you forget?
Yeah, it's gotten, I mean, I have to say this new not being able to see it thing is a real drag.
Yeah.
I get it. I usually get in my tub and I will just say it out loud like 10 times. Like for me, it's just, I just have to repeat it.
Yeah.
And then I try to run it with somebody else.
So. I mean, I run it with Mike too, my husband.
That's good.
So like we'll like sit there and do it. But that can be risky when you do it with your partner. Like I think if you have outside person that you're talking to, that's helpful, because he and I will kind of get annoyed with each other. And we do the same thing to each other that we both don't like. Like, we'll start correcting the line that you're saying. Like, oh, no, it's actually this. I'm like, well, I was actually saying something very similar to that. I'm just trying to prove that I can kind of get through this.
Like, it's not a memorizing contest. It's not like, I think they figure out at some point, if I say lamb, I can also say sheep.
Yeah.
You know, like, they get I'm not going to lose the part
right
if I get that word wrong.
Totally.
But I used to feel like if I messed up that part, then that was it for me. Like,
yes,
it's a fine line of
But thinking also about your question with like when I was younger, before getting to do anything like that, I think one of the things I would have told myself, or I wish I could tell myself, is that you don't need to be in a relationship. But I think that part of my like desire my entire life to have a boyfriend or whatever, like, made it so that when I was finally getting attention from people that I liked, it was really hard to not want to give into that. Like, oh, this is great. I got what I wanted.
How old were you and where were you when you started getting attention?
I think probably like 19, like right when I was in college and doing improv and stuff. Yeah.
So I didn't get male attention until Chicago at 19.
Yeah.
And it was like the first time in my life. And I don't know if this is the same. I would imagine it's similar where I felt like starting to do Improv Olympic in Chicago and being a teenager, but they were all like so talented and slightly older.
Mm-hmm.
But all of a sudden you feel like you found your people.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, like, I didn't make sense, like, as a lady. I went to the wrong college. I went to college in Colorado, which is like
hippies?
Like male witches. There was like a guy that was a male witch and he had like all these ferrets and stuff. And I didn't make sense as a lady there. But then all of a sudden, when I did a semester in Chicago, which is where it sort of started for me, and it was the first time I got male attention.
Yeah.
And I felt like the lights came on, both as a person of like seeing inspiring, like what you could do and creatively and seeing so many talented people, like right before they went to Second City and right before they got
SNL.
I mean,
the people that you were around at that time are some of the household names now. Like, it's not like these people were just some, I mean, some of them were like schlubby, weird guys, but like a lot of them were extremely talented people.
Who was there when you were there?
Oh God. I mean, there were so many great people. Let's see. I mean, they're not all men that I had interest in or anything, but I could just name random people that were there. But Vanessa Bayer and I were on an improv team together.
That's awesome.
Paul Britton, who went on to SNL. And
everyone says Vanessa's lovely.
She is. She's so great.
Everyone says she's really nice.
Well, a lot of them like are writers and stuff now. But they're, like, I mean, I could name people and go on. But they're like people who are just so funny and so Pat O'Brien. Well, Mike O'Brien is his name now. He was on. He created AP Bio and
he changed his name.
Yeah.
Wait, his first name? Why?
I don't know. I think his name, he might have been going by his middle name at that time.
Right.
And maybe there's another
maybe
person
named
that. Maybe
in the WGA somebody had that name. So you started getting male attention.
Yeah.
And then you hooked.
Well, and I had a boyfriend from high school that I was with into college.
Yeah.
And like that probably ran its course before I was aware. But then I was also like, I liked the familiarity of having a relationship, like the constant and like knowing that or something.
Yeah.
But really like, there's just, I just look back and think like, oh, I was probably like too, I don't know what I was worried about, but I would have given myself the freedom to just be alone for more of that. Cause I think I always had a boyfriend throughout that time.
It's so interesting. Just again, look, when I look back on stuff and I try to look back with compassion, but it's like, you're it's like this is the gas that's in your tank. This is like the roadmap you were given, and just sort of trying to navigate that particularly that age. I feel like 18 to like 24, it's whether you go to college or not, you know, but you're starting to, it's not quite the same routine. It's starting, it's getting, becoming an adult.
Yeah. And I think when I think of myself at that age, I was such a kid. Like,
yeah,
I'm imagining myself in college, like, and how I was. And I'm like, I was a kid. I didn't know anything.
Yeah.
I felt really confident within the comedy community, and like that gave me so much. But then outside of that, I didn't really know where I fit in. So at school, I feel like I didn't bond with people very much because I was kind of seeing it as two different worlds. Where like I go to school just to get a degree, and I go out here to like be myself and have my life. Yeah, just the idea that I went to school, like I saw it as two different worlds. Where like I was going to school to get a degree, and that was the focus of that time. And right. Then when I was not in school, I was performing, and that's where I was really myself, and where I really made friends who really understood me.
Yeah,
I didn't really feel like I could find that at school and have that as well. Even though I'm sure there were a lot of people who were like me. But it just felt like I couldn't blend.
Did you do like classes and perform on the weekends?
Yeah, like, or I perform like almost every night of the week. Like I was like doing it like,
at IO
and the playground and like random like Second City Skybox shows.
Chicago is so great.
Oh, it's the best. But I mean, I think that maybe was doing myself a disservice in the sense that I felt really socially anxious.
Yeah.
Whenever I was outside of that realm, like I was like putting all my eggs in that basket socially, and then kind of in my college experience, I was like nervous to talk to people my own age.
That's how I got into other schools to transfer, but I couldn't afford to go. So, but I was, you know, doing Chicago, and then I went and worked at Conan. I kept getting all these, I kept figuring out ways to get credits and kind of living the beginning of my professional and like real life. And then I'm sure there was lots of lovely people at my school. Like I graduated on time, but there was something, it was sort of like, oh, now I have to go do this. Like, you know, like, and I just wanted to get going.
I know. And I wonder if I'm still doing some of that. Like now that I'm hearing it and even hearing you relate to it, I'm like, oh, do I still sometimes compartmentalize in that way, or like not allow for connection in certain ways? Like, I think when I was first getting acting roles, I was really anxious about chatting with other people. Like, right. The idea of eating lunch a work day was like really stressful to me. To the point where I'd be like, oh no, that's one of my first thoughts about getting a job. Like now I have to figure out about lunch.
I literally, in the book, I wrote a chapter, you know, you've been to my, I grew up in next to like a field that has a choo-choo train, like a caboose filled with chickens. You know, there's no stoplights. There's a general store. And then at 22, like being like actually being on a sitcom and then doing episodes of shows that I grew up, it was just my dream to like get, and actually getting the thrill of booking a job, and it lasts for about 2 seconds, and then the immediate terror of who am I going to have lunch with, having to talk to people, act like a normal.
But one of the things that I've been giving myself the liberty of doing, which I don't know if this is good or bad, is that I'll just eat alone in my trailer.
I eat in my trailer.
I think I need this because I will be, my social battery is drained from just like chatting on set and all the other hours of the day. It's a 12-hour work day. I need to be alone for 30 minutes.
Me too.
And that's okay.
I've started also doing a thing because I get nervous. I've started doing a thing so that I don't have my baby blanket, where I make myself leave my phone in my room.
Ooh.
So that I can't hide in it. And it forces me, again, because I get nervous around people. But once I get to know somebody one-on-one, and like once I take the, even inviting you to New York, like taking the risk of like, and we were already friends, but it's like, oh, there's 5 days, you know, like, you know, the healthy risk, which is why then I can go eat alone in my trailer, because I've been, you know, but
you've been pushing yourself in the other hours.
But I force myself just to leave it so that I can just somehow try to find a calm within myself and not be disconnected, and so that I have to talk to people,
right,
or just be quiet.
I mean, it would be nice if it was a rule that everyone had to follow.
Yeah,
because I think
everyone's on their phone.
I also try to bring a book because I just prefer for myself. Like I'm on my phone too much. Like, okay, this is better for me. My brain just feels better from just looking at paper.
Yeah,
that like. But I think people can see that as socially cut off in a way where you're right. Like, oh, she's just going to read right next to us, which is actually more open for conversation than being on your phone, because I have no idea what you're doing on there. I don't know how important it is.
Oh, no.
I don't know if you're just scrolling.
It's so terrifying when you see known... Who have you been the most intimidated, like, when you're like, oh, my God, I'm so excited to book this, but now I have to actually go execute it? Like, were you nervous to go film the movie with John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell in London?
Yes, I was. And I was nervous because we had, like, a few weeks of rehearsals and stuff. My character has no lines until, like, the end. So I really felt like, oh, am I, like, a worthless part of this? Like, do I need to be rehearsing this? Because they should. This is, like... they have a lot of lines.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was nervous that I was like a third wheel or something, you know, or fourth wheel, which
But
you know what I mean? But like, they're like, oh, this is like unnecessary. But yeah, I think, and I definitely felt that way because I was in London for like 3.5 months doing that movie where I had to fill my own time, but I didn't want to bother anyone and like suggest that we get dinner. I'm like, I would never.
No.
I'm like, even when it did happen a couple times, but I'm like, I'm not going to be the one to suggest this.
It's hard being a guest star too. Like going in.
When people have a set, like basically.
You are the guest at somebody else's Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And you are the cousin that got brought by the cousin that got brought by, like, you are the plus 12. Like, you are way out. And so, like, for like Orange is the New Black, that must be terrifying.
That's the same. That's
terrifying.
Exactly what you're describing, because I mean,
it's
I think
huge.
I was like literally number like 60 something on the call sheet. Mm-hmm. There's so many people, and it was intimidating because I was coming into a I basically really only done multicam stuff before that, and then flying to New York for it and like sleeping on my friend's couch because it was local hire, meaning you have to like pay for your own way.
Yeah.
And they don't set you up at the hotel or anything. So I was
you were
like
sleeping on a couch.
Yeah, sleeping on a couch, then going to work at like 5 a.m. But all these people who seemed to know each other really well because they were all in New York together and they were all in more episodes together than I was, or spending more time together.
That's hard.
And everyone was really nice, but it was still the feeling of like just inside myself of, oh, how do I?
That's hard.
But I do think like going through like big life things has been helpful for me because I've been able to put things into perspective more.
Yeah.
And at that time in my life, I hadn't really had anything that hard happen to me. So it was like kind of hard to see it as not being a huge deal, but like, I don't know what to say to these people or what am I going to talk about or what am I going to, who am I going to sit with? Like, I feel like now I'm more like, all right, everyone's got their own shit. Yeah. I don't care. I have my problems that I have to deal with. And
I've intentionally gotten, and I honestly think a large part of it has been doing the podcast. Like I've gotten... I forced, because I see that it makes me happy. So I've gotten a little bit, I've taken some healthier risks of getting a little more social. But I did notice, like, I did this horror movie, like, a year ago with Rebecca Romijn and Jerry O'Connell.
Oh, yeah.
And they said that they were staying in a much fancier hotel. I was at some, like, crappy residence in. And they kept, like, inviting me to meals. And apparently... every time I'd be like, just text them like, no, I'm walking. I was always walking to Trader Joe's, just like the loneliest, like not even in a car. Like I'm walking like on like, and it wasn't even like a pretty sidewalk. It was like a weird roadway in Dallas. I'd be walking on like this weird non-roadway.
I feel like I've been in those situations so often when you're shooting something in a weird place. And like, I'll just walk to the movies and it's like 2 miles away.
I thought they were like, they forced me. They asked me like 4 times. I was always walking on a roadway to Trader Joe's. And then finally, I was like, okay. Like, because I get nervous.
Yeah.
So I was like, it's the equivalent of hiding in my trailer. It's like, no.
Well,
I'm
and sometimes I think they don't really want to invite me.
Yeah. They don't. They feel like they have to.
Yeah.
So eventually, like, so we did have a really good time and we had a lot of meals together. But it takes me a beat to, it's like a healthy risk. And not all of them pay off. Have you had like weird, I'm sure this happens to everybody in adulthood, where you've moved away from home and you're trying to find your new friend group and you have like a girlfriend meal and that like, you know,
it doesn't go anywhere.
And like, it's like, yeah, you've like shared way too intimate things, but you only have had one. And then like, you never have another one. And then you bump into them and you know that at one point in time you had like some weird like salad and somebody shared something terrible about their parents.
Yes.
Have you had that?
Oh, I've had a bunch of those, but I kind of forget who they are. Like, and then I'll remember like randomly, like I ran into somebody recently and I always like seeing her and I was like, oh yeah. And then like, whatever. I said hi for 2 seconds. And then I was in the car later and I was going, Oh, yeah. We went and like tried to get lunch. Like, yeah. What was that about? And why didn't that work out? And like, I guess we didn't have the chemistry or something. But like, isn't that weird?
It's I courted you. I asked you out. It's interesting when you have like a botched friend meal in Los Angeles, because sometimes like the botched friend meal, I had a couple meals with somebody who then went on to become very famous. And then like, I think maybe she would acknowledge if she knew me now, but I think she just like out-stratosphered me. Like she went up to, you know, she's probably goes to like the Met Gala now.
I don't know if I have anything like that where like, I don't know if I know somebody who became mega famous.
Yeah.
Unless it's like some comedy dude, I don't care or something, but not like somebody like that where I would be like, do they still remember me?
You know? Yeah, exactly. Do you know who I am, Miss Streep? Do you remember me? We had that good time together. Weird.
But I think I have a bit of a, like, my brain will block out things that are uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So I'll just go, like, I kind of forget that I had that encounter with that person. And then I'll, like, it'll just pop in my head and I'll think, what do they think of that? Did they forget or what?
I know. There's one that was, like, very open. And I almost think it's not even on purpose, because it's, like, so hard as an adult to kind of reach out. But then it's, like, for time number two, it's, like, who's going to set up the second?
Yes.
I don't know.
But then I wonder, what are we doing? Like,
talk to me.
This is part of the talk thing about, like, why are we all... Why are we making dinners? Why are we going out
nothing.
To
nothing. We
to
all just want to be watching Netflix.
So what is the idea? Because we also all plenty, we have plenty of people to talk to or hang out with that we already know.
What are we doing?
So when you set up a new date, what are you doing with that? What's the intention? So are you planning to now become friends where you see each other all the time? It's kind of hard just to get together with people you already
That's how I feel.
So like I'm doing one of these soon.
What are you doing?
I'm going to have a double date. Okay. And I think it'll be fun and I'm looking forward to it. I don't know the people.
Great.
But I'm looking forward to it. But I also go, wait, do they really want to do, like, what do we all want to do it?
Left to your own devices. Like, just garbage planet. Left to your own garbage devices. Dream world. If you could get paid to have your own garbage existence, what would you do all day?
Oh, wow. And like, okay. You know, I think I would actually like to have a healthy existence if someone was going to pay me for my life.
Yeah.
Which I should think of that as being what my life is anyway.
Sure.
But I would like to be, I would have like a trainer.
Great.
I would have a chef who like makes all my meals.
Yes.
And then I would just have people over to like smoke weed and watch movies or like go like, you know, sit outside under the stars kind of thing. I don't really need to be doing like meet new friends.
No,
go
I love
to
this.
Dinner.
I love
meet
this.
Meet at a restaurant.
Oh my God.
Can you find them? Do you remember what they even look like?
I'm so glad that I got in with you 2 years ago before your friend window closed.
Oh my God. That's the other thing is that I don't want to be like a no new friends person.
No. But
I'm open hearted. I just feel busy.
You are busy.
The eagle has landed.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code. A lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
I want you to know, speaking of busy, since I'd never, ever watched A Real Housewives, and since New York, I chose New York. I've started with New York.
Oh, it's great.
I'm 11 episodes into season 11 of New York.
Wow.
I am obsessed with Luann.
Yeah, I love Luann.
I love Luann.
I love Luann.
Is she still doing her cabaret?
She is. We
should
go.
Should we go see it?
Absolutely. She comes to LA sometimes with
it. We got to go see the cabaret. I love, and
even though I made fun of the cabaret on Watch What Happens Live, but I was, you have to.
You were so great on that show.
Thank you. But I felt bad about making fun of Luann.
No, I love Luann. I remember when Bethany announced she was retiring, both Brian Safi and my brother, who is not the guy you'd think, they both explained to me that she's the greatest housewife that's
ever. It's actually a huge travesty that she's retiring.
I have to say, and I know I'm catching her in her twilight hours of being, she's spectacular.
Yeah, she's great TV. I get it. Possibly psychopath.
She intimidates me.
She scares me.
So is Dorinda a dum-dum?
Dorinda is, my perception of Dorinda is that possibly she...
No, I'm sorry. I love Dorinda.
Oh, because she might be an alcoholic who is...
Oh, for
that's
sure.
the problem.
Oh, no, for sure. I love Dorinda. I'm sorry. I think Dorinda's spectacular.
Who, I think Tinsley?
No. Well, sometimes... Yesterday I was dressed a certain way and I was like, oh my God, I think I'm turning into Tinsley Mortimer. I had on like a cut of a dress and I was like,
Was it like peplum?
It was sort of a... It was almost like a fit and flare, you know? And I had like a bow in my hair and I was like, I'm one step too poor to be Tinsley Mortimer. No, you know what I was asking? Is it dum-dum Sonia?
She's an airhead, but she's a lovable airhead, but she also might have a drinking problem. When I look at these women and how much they drink...
I would weigh 700 pounds.
Oh, well, it would be a huge problem in my life if I drink anywhere near the amount that any of these people drink.
100%.
But it is alarming because I also just think, wow, when I'm like... I don't know, in my 50s, would I want to be getting trashed with my friends to the point where we're like making out? Like, it just
so
much.
They keep making out.
And OC, they were making out a ton.
Sonia is so hot for Bethany.
Yeah, and on OC, if you start watching, Tamara and Bronwyn like made out like a ton in this last episode. And I was like, they are gonna have sex. Like, this is not a joke.
I never watched it. I love that there's no men. Mm-hmm. That they're all loaded. And they're just sort of good sports. They just dive in and they put on their one piece. They think they know they look great. They're ready to flirt. Yeah, they're.
I kind of love when the fact that they get trashed helps them to just like go like, fuck you.
It's a lot of booze. I've never seen any episode. So whenever I've walked, certainly I've been places where it's on and I was like, oh, that feels really fake. All I can say is my only knowledge is the New York one. I'm like, oh no, these ladies have been, this is a decade long. They're all famous now.
Yes.
There's so much alcohol. This is simmering decades of resentment and friendship. I love it. What are
There's
you
a
at?
Dog on this glass ceiling.
That's Anna's dog.
He's in an outfit.
It's his birthday. He's won today. It's his birthday.
This is hysterical.
He's in an outfit. In an outfit.
I'm sorry. You don't even understand what I'm seeing.
That's so exciting. Look at that. Look at that picture.
Oh, my God.
Look at that picture.
Wow. That was really alarming. I didn't know there was a room up there.
I want to ask you one thing.
Yeah.
I feel like you have really good self-confidence, and you don't doubt your voice and your creativity. And I feel like more and more you're leaning into, this is what I want to do. This is what I like to do. Like, what advice would you give to younger Lauren? Did you always have that? Did you ever doubt your own voice? Where did that come from?
I've definitely doubted it, and I still doubt it sometimes, but I feel like what helps me is seeing other people going for it, because then I think, well, I should be going for it. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's all subjective, so why should I not put my thing out into the world? But when I look back at myself, I was pretty blindly confident when I was younger.
Yeah.
Which was good, but I think I would have worked a little harder to make tangible things. I was like constantly doing improv.
Right.
But which was great because it built up my entire like comedic perspective. And I feel like I still lean on all of the stuff that I like, you know, honed in those years. But at the same time, it would have been cool if I had like pushed myself to write things or, you know, just see what that would have been. I just didn't really know how to even begin.
Yeah.
And I still feel kind of like stuck with that stuff, but I I know I can do it. It's just a matter of like sitting down. And that's also part of it is I feel I don't have enough time in the day.
Yeah.
I like look at my day and I go, the day is gone. I have to see, I have to go have dinner and drinks now. That's the kind of thing that will drive me crazy. Where I'm
you got to cancel all these dinners.
Why am I getting, out to dinner when I would really rather eat for 2 seconds at my table and then just work on something or like sit and think?
I want to just be very honest as far as, because I agree with you. And this is the truth of like writing this book is I'm always been a sprinter, not a marathon person. Mm-hmm. Anna's read it. Anna's read the book. If I can't get it done in a night, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
Like, and I will stay up all night and I'll do it. But like, you can't do that with a book.
Yeah.
And here's what I want to say to anybody out there that like, just to dispel the myth, literally some days it was writing. So I have to turn off internet and I will set a timer. And literally part of the book was just 15 minutes a day.
Yeah.
It was not 4 hours. The most I ever wrote ever was maybe 3 hours, but
that's amazing.
But that was the most days it was like 1 hour. But if you actually sit down like ass in the seat and do 20 minutes, 30 minutes, like I have such ADD and fear, particularly around, I've never written a book, you know? So just that it's just facing, calming down your own inner fear and chatter, throwing up a bad version onto the page. Mm-hmm. So I love Michael's craft stores. Mm-hmm. So I picked her like, I'm just going to Michael's and I'm getting the material and then I'm going to organize it afterwards.
Well, because sometimes things can become so huge in your head that it feels impossible to put it down. And even something like I'm trying to think about a thing that I want to do. And I was like, okay, why don't I start with making a list of what that involves? And then I did that and I was like, oh, now I have a page of like a plan.
Yeah.
Like it's not like it's that complicated, but part of it is when it's just swirling in your head and you don't put anything down, it feels like it never moves forward.
It's that next indicated action. I also can't,
what's that?
For me, so I get big ideas, but then I get overwhelmed.
Me too.
And sometimes I'll have the enthusiasm, but like something again, like a book or something else. But like for now, just referring to the book, like it was you can't sustain crazy enthusiasm for as long as it takes to write. There's going to be some days where you don't freaking feel like it.
Yeah.
So for me, next indicated action is sort of, I know my own brain and I did not write the first chapter first. Like, so it's like first indicated action is like, let me just write down all the stories that I might want to tell. Like, just make a list. You know, and sort of organize it like after the proposal, after that I did not write it in order. So it's like, what's the easiest chapter? So for me, it was also like, what's the least personal chapter? Like what's like the lowest hanging fruit? That's sort of like a funny story that maybe I've told before. Like what's the easiest one to start with? And then I honestly at first just did word count. So it was like, okay, I'm going to just write 1,000 words today. And then going through phases, but it's just like next indicated action was like writing another 1,000 words.
Well, yeah, I think sometimes I really thrive with a deadline, which sounds like you were too. Like in school, I would like stay up all night I wouldn't stay up all night. I would be like, I have to be done by midnight. So then I would just like crank it out by midnight or whatever and then go to bed. But so I worked really well with like a finite amount of time. So when I have an idea and I'm like, it doesn't have to happen at any point. So what?
Yeah.
But I like recently had to write an article for something and like I did it in an afternoon because I knew they were expecting it.
Right.
So part of it is that, but I get scared to tell other people the plan for them to give me the deadline.
Oh no, I know.
I don't want to do that.
No, I know.
I wouldn't even want you to know that I didn't complete it. Like
I know.
And even then I'm like, I know. I got to complete it for Arden. You know,
I panic. I'm weirdly private about weird certain things because it's just my own fear that I can't execute things.
Same. Yeah. And I hate when I've talked about something a lot and then I don't do it, I'm like, everyone knows I wanted to do that thing and I didn't do it.
I know. People were like, whatever happened with you? Like, I just started watching Netflix.
I didn't do it.
I discovered Netflix. Okay, well, final questions.
Okay.
You're at the Bachelor Mansion. You're getting out of the limo. What do you wear opening night?
Oh, my God. You know what? If I really wanted to have a chance.
Yeah, what do you wear?
I'd wear what I would wear any day, like jeans and a t-shirt.
Okay.
Can you imagine showing up? Like, looking nice, like nice hair and makeup and everything. Yeah, like, it done.
Great.
But not too much. Just like what you would wear for like a nice picture of yourself.
Yes.
Nothing uncomfortable.
Great.
And then I'd be able to be myself, because I think hobbling around in some fucking like tight dress with all these other women who I'd be insecure.
Oh, my God. You would win.
And then I'd be like, fuck you guys. I wore a sweatshirt.
Great.
And then I would look really cool.
I love that. Okay. I'm gonna just leave with this.
Okay.
Any final words of wisdom for young Lauren out there?
In my recent show with Wild Horses, my improv team, we were talking about Kabbalah names or whatever, where it's like your name of like what your thing is.
Yeah.
And Stephanie Allen was saying that hers was big picture.
Yeah.
And then we were kind of coming up with our own. And mine, all I could think of was just do it.
Yeah.
So I decided that I was Nike, the goddess of, you know, whatever, doing shit. And so that would be my thing to my younger self, is just do it.
Because I love
think
that.
I had it in certain areas, but I didn't have it in every area. And I still feel that way. Like, I still feel like I need to keep telling myself my mantra. But I want to give that to my younger self, or anyone out there who feels like
I love that.
They don't have the direction yet. Just start doing stuff that you are interested in and just do it. And don't think too hard about what it leads to, but think about how it feels to do it.
I'm going to piggyback on that, because I agree with you. And I'm going to just yes and what you just said. I think it's okay to not tell everybody in your life, because there's a lot of naysayers out there who they might be, if they're stuck or whatever, and they don't necessarily realize they're doing it, they think they're protecting you. Like, I don't want you to get your hopes up. Like, I hate that. It's like, let me get my hopes up. I'm an adult. I can handle being disappointed. You know, like, it's okay if it's like, picture it like a little baby chick, that it's okay to protect your little secret dream that you're working on. You don't need to hand it over to everybody while it's growing.
Yeah.
I like that. Just do it. Okay. Final question from The Bachelor.
Okay.
Who said the following quote?
It's trivia?
Yeah.
Okay.
Deep intellectual things are just my jam. Was that Corinne? Was that Olivia? Or was that Jade? Deep intellectual things are just my jam.
Was it Jade?
That was Olivia. Saying to Ben.
I thought it was Demi.
Oh, my God. You know what? Well, Lauren Lapkus, thank you. You know, you are the Nike goddess of just do it. You told me to do this, and I'm doing it.
Yeah, I'm so excited you're doing it. I think it's going
to
be great.
And this is leading. If you want to pre-order, apparently you need to sell 8,000 books to get on the New York Times bestseller.
Here's what I'm going
to
tell you
guys. So will you please buy 8,000 copies?
Everybody buy it.
Please. I'll pay you back.
This is your way of showing your appreciation for this podcast that has given you so much over the years.
God.
It takes so little on your part. I mean, just do it. I really feel this way. This is like the same thing as basically somebody like posting their GoFundMe, like, just go donate by buying a book.
Oh my God. I will, if anybody brings it, literally even to the grocery store that I'm at, I will sign any book that anybody buys. I'll draw a picture for you.
Can you imagine if every listener of this episode bought it?
Oh my God.
How amazing would that be? And if you are the person going, well, it's not going to be me, you're fucking up the whole deal, because if everybody did it.
So my dream is to be a New York Times bestseller. You need to sell 8,000 copies.
We can do this.
Oh my God, we can do this.
We can do this. Everybody just go buy it.
On Amazon.
Tell someone else, you know, who likes to read memoirs and things. Just buy it.
Yeah.
By the way, when you're pre-ordering, it's a gift to your future self, because you click buy, you kind of forget about it.
Forget
and then
about
a couple
it.
Months later, you get this book in your mailbox. You're like, oh, cool.
You know what? There's a lot of things that I've done that I would say is not that good. I think the book actually is good. It's called Little Miss Little Compton. You can pre-order it on Amazon. Bring it anywhere you can find me and I'll sign it. Just don't break into my house, because that's creepy.
No. Don't go anywhere near her home. But just, yes, bring it to get signed.
I'll sign anything.
And truly, just don't be the person who messes it up. Go order it. You're listening now. You're thinking about it. You like Arden.
Oh, my God. Lauren, feeling thorny. Thank you for our nice offshoot. Anna, thank you for helping us. Listeners, we love you. And there'll be more of these. Thank you so much. Bye. I hope you guys have enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoyed recording it. As a very special offer, I've paired with a company. It's called Premier Collectibles, and they work with authors. And I have a giveaway for the first 250 orders. you get one of the really nice Little Miss Little Compton tote bags and a signed book plate. So it all comes with the purchase of the book. For the second 250 people, you get a signed book plate. So there's 500 total. But for the first 250, you get the book. You get the canvas Little Miss Little Compton book tote bag that you can look at on our Facebook. And then you get it personally signed by me in the book. So if you go to ardenmarinebook.com, that's ardenmyrin.com, or if you just go to Premier Collectibles and you put my name in, you can find it. And that's a special offer. So for the first 250 orders, you get the book, a tote, and a signed book plate. The second 250, a signed book plate. So get them while they last. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Gonna get all in you tonight. It feels so good. I just got one little question for you, girl. Will you accept this rose? Oh, will you accept this rose into your world? Oh, will you accept this rose into your world?
Accept This Rose is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander, or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
Hey, guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.